Two?
Sure, Florence is leaving.
It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
It's not my birthday.
It's luck. All right, so I want to share an idea that I heard, really, to bring everything together to what's happening right now. If you guys remember, we spoke right beginning of, I think, Wintersman, and we discussed how we're starting the long, hard, dark, terribly difficult Gemara Zman, which is depressing, that kind of stuff, how really not to look at it like that. And now, Lamaisa, we're at the very end, at the line, we're at the finishing, we can see the finishing line, and for some, I see those are not here, actually already have finished, right? But for those that are here right now, Santa went to America. And, anyway, so see that. Anyway, he's not going to listen, is he? Okay. So for those who are still around. So I want to share with you just one very nice idea that I heard from Rav David Schoonmaker, who's a Rebbe in Eish HaTor. He's the head of the Beis Medrash program. And he was talking about this Zman, and he said there's just different. I don't know if I'm going to word it the way that he said it, but the way that I got it was the following. The way that I understood what he said, and I even went over and said Yashikoyach to him, because I was very much, it had an impact on me, that we look at the Zman, and a lot of people get the end of Zman blues, right? The end of Zman blues, or the end of Zman, let's get out of here, right, type of thing, where they just can't handle, what's that, the thing skipped, I don't know, but where we can't handle it, right? Just gotta go, gotta get out, right? And you're learning, you're like, it's just like at the end of Zman, I can't even, what's it, there's really no difference. The whole thing obviously is in your head, it's all psychological, but we get this, we get very antsy. And one of the main reasons is because we look at Adar, the second Adar, like prison. And basically what happens is, whereas it could be looked at very differently. And perhaps if we would change the way we looked at it, we could be very, very productive. And the way that he explained to look at it, or Schoonmaker looked at it, is you should look at this Tkufa, which is only a very short time now. Really, it starts already from Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, right? It always starts from Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis. That you know, it's like, it's like we're almost done, and like now it's like another month to go. Okay, now it's very, very few, very little time left until Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Wednesday.
Is it what? This coming Wednesday. Is Rosh Chodesh?
No.
Everyone? So we have a week until Rosh Chodesh at centers, and 2 days we bought a shalom. Yeah, Europe. Yeah. Kick it. In, okay. Anyway, so. All right, wow, you should have called me a week ago. But all right, so you have 2 days. All right, people, listen. Even with going to Europe, this will be able to be very good for you if you listen carefully to what I'm going to share with you. If you look at this like its own Zaman, in other words, the Zaman really ended by Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, right? It's over. The Zaman is over. Just like you already thought it was over, it is over. And you look at this month to be, it's a whole nother Zman. And the truth is, you could do this also in Nisan as well, right? To be in terms of Bein Zman, but looking at it like its own Zman. If you look at this Zman as a time where it's not like, I was talking to somebody who learned new Mestechtas, we started to switch things over, or Chazara. But if you look at this like another Zman in Gansen, so then that feeling of, it's just dragging on, is it's not. It's over. It's finished. You're done with this Zman. Right, you're done. You were done psychologically, and now you're actually done with this Zman. And now we have a whole nother Zman. It's a whole nother Zman. And that whole nother Zman is now, I know that personally, because I'm not in yeshiva, meaning in terms of learning in a structured learning yeshiva setting, I have a chavrusa. So we learn at all different times. So I never get the end of Zman blues or beginning of Zman excitement. It's just, we're just learning, because it's all the year, it's all year, it's all around, it's not. But when you're in the structure, then you kind of, it gets a little more difficult. But if you look at it like this is totally new, it's totally different, then it totally changes the way we see it. Now, this is going to be very apropos for what's happening to all of you, or most of you, and that's coming up now. And again, also, I don't know if all the Rebbeim are going also. So this can also apply to Rebbeim. The idea of understanding the importance, the concept of just to talk, we're done with Purim, moving on to now coming to Pesach. So, what's one of the main themes of Pesach, we understand, is Chametz. Chametz is the no-no. And what's the difference between something which is matzah and something which is chametz? We're not getting into the gaiva shtickle and it's all blown up, whatever, it's a nice shtickle, but really the difference is very, very minimal. There's a very, very minimal difference. We say 18 minutes. What's 18 minutes? 18 minutes is if you leave the dough for 18 minutes, assuming that the water, the temperature is, I think, between 43 and 49 degrees, then what happens is within 18 minutes, then it starts to be machmitz. But there's a certain point in time where it shifts over. And I just want to share with you a couple of ideas of time, a couple of ideas within time. What happens around the world in 1 minute? In 1 minute, what happens around the world? So, okay, we'll start off a little slow. Okay, you got 25 Americans get a passport. 25 Americans will get a passport every single minute. What else happens in 1 minute around the world? 58 airplanes take off. I'm not going to say what you just motioned, but 58 take off. Yeah, 58 airplanes take off. 116 people get married. This is every minute, every single minute. 144 people move into a new home. 11,319 packages are delivered by UPS. In 1 minute, what else happens? We have 5,441,400 pounds of garbage will be created. Isn't that lovely? Okay, there's a lot more that happens in 1 minute. What happens in 1 second? This is going to touch upon the title already. There are between 4 and 6 births. 4 to 6 babies are born. I think it's 4.8 to be accurate. Nebuch on that, but that kid, I tell you, it's rough. Anyway, so 1.8 people died. 0.2 are hanging on. There are 10,450 Cokes that are consumed. 20,000 that are bought, 10,450 that are consumed. My wife read this. She goes, there's a lot of Coke addicts, right? I don't know what she meant by that. There are a bee. When a bee has wings and a bee, I don't know what's called bats or flaps or whatever their wings, how many times do they flap their wings? In 1 second. Think, don't be silly. In 1 second, how many times does it flap its wing? I think somebody said it, 613. No. 270 times. 270 times. In 1 second. In 1 second. 173,611 cigarettes smoked in 1 second. Many of them are in yeshivas around the world. This is on Yeshiva World, by the way. Okay, that's 1 second. Let's break it down even more. Let's get crazy. You see this, you get to hear differences between people's names. You'll know, you'll recognize some names, other names maybe you won't know as much. Milorad Chavich. Raise your hand if you've heard of Milorad Chavich. No one's heard of him before. Okay. Michael Phelps. Okay, a lot more. Mark Spitz. Who's Mark Spitz? Get out. Mark Spitz.
He's a swimmer.
Tell me about him.
Has the record for most golds.
Say it again, please.
Yeah, the record for most.
Good. That was a good change. Right, so Mark Spitz.
Yes.
Was a baseball player. And no, he was a swimmer. Good. He was a swimmer. And he had the record. He had the record for the most gold medals in the Olympic Games with 7 gold medals. Michael Phelps in 2008, China, was rocking it. He was on the scene. One race, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 gold medals in a row. And he was up against to go, I mean, it's not just one-on-one, it's about 8 or whatever it is, 8 people or so like that are swimming at the same time. And he's, the guy who's favored to win is this fellow Milorad Chavich. I don't remember where he's from, Siberia or something. Anyway, so, he's from, anyway, not America. And he was favored to win. And in the beginning of the race, 100 meters, he actually is winning, like he was rocking it. Not only was he rocking it, Michael Phelps was in 7th place. Like when you're watching this, as they're going through, as they're going for it, he's in 7th place. And but then he starts towards the end, he starts kicking into gear, and you see him start to catch up. And at the end of the race, this is what you see. It's an amazing thing. You see Chavich at the last moment go like this towards the wall. How does it win? Whoever hits the wall first. Right, there's a pad there. Whatever hits the wall first, he extends his arm forward, and the way that Michael Phelps comes in is like this. He comes in like this. So you see them both doing this, and it looks almost like it's the same time, but it's not the same time. And it even looks like this guy Chavich wins because of the water and the angle that they come in, and he comes in like that as the other one's coming in like this. And again, from an aerial view, it looks like, wow, Chavich won, like by a second or so. But actually, Michael Phelps had won by 0.01 seconds. 1/100th of a second. He won the gold medal, and he ended up tying the record for 7 gold medals. He then went on to win the 8th gold medal, and now he holds the world record. We're talking about 1/100th of a second. Just recently, there was a fellow named Denny Hamlin, who was the Daytona 500, I think it was in February. He also, in the very end, pulled out in front to win by 4 feet, which, when you're in a race car, again, 1/100th of a second. You ever heard of a fellow named Gatlin? Gatlin. Who's Gatlin? How about this one? Bolt. Who's that?
Usain.
Okay, so you know Usain, not to be confused with other presidents. So he was leading, and again, Usain Bolt broke out, and he won the race by 1/100th of a second. And this is where there's a very famous, I don't know if it's a poem or just a little discussion about, if you want to realize the value of 1 year, ask a Shana Bet Rebbe. Now, if you want to value the difference of 1 year, you ask a child, a kid who failed a grade. You want to know what the value of 1 month is? Ask a woman who gave birth prematurely, a month early. You want to know the value of a week? Ask an editor of a weekly newsletter. You want to know the value of 1 day? Ask a daily wager, a guy who goes to just make his daily wages in order to feed his family that day. You want to know the value of 1 hour? You ask a kallah who's waiting to see the chassan. Notice it doesn't say it the other way. You want to know the value of 1 minute? Ask someone who just missed a train. You want to know the value of 1 second? Ask a person who just avoided an accident. You want to know the value of 1 millisecond? Ask a silver medalist. Does everybody hear this? Understanding the value of time. You want to know the value of kares? Eat matzah after it's past the zman. Unless you're Sephardi, then you have like the fluffy things all year. Right? But go ahead. How you doing? Love rice. Right, so go ahead. You want to know the value, my friends, the value of moments. And to recognize how powerful it is, the value of moments. There was an article that was written up. This is a friend of mine. I said, you know, I'm talking about something. Give me something. What do you got? And he sent me an amazing study, an interview. There was a fellow who interviewed 200 super, I don't know what they're called, super people. And super productive people, or what exactly the Lushan is. And, you know, of them, there were 20 straight A students, and of them, there were 13 billionaires, and of them, there were Olympic medalists, and all these different things. And they said, why are you successful? What makes you successful? What is it that is the key to your success? And they said, essentially, there were 15 things on the list. And he said, if you want to know what it is, one of them, the very first one, is he says that they focus on minutes, not hours. They focus on minutes, not hours. The average performers default to hours and half-hour blocks on their calendar. Highly successful people know there are 1,440 minutes in every day, and there's nothing more valuable than time. Money can be lost and made again, but time spent can never be reclaimed. As legendary Olympic, one of the Olympists goes and mentioned, to this day, they keep a schedule that is almost minute by minute. You must master your minutes to master your life. When a person understands the concept of now going into a pre-Bein Hazman and bash, right, to Europe, which is not exactly my way of saying to pre-Bein Hazman, but going to a pre-Bein Hazman and bash, or this time to Kufa, as to realize, appreciate, don't look at it as part of a greater whole. Look at it as, okay, this is its own thing, and understand the fact of value of every second when a person goes ahead, realize the concept of what the Chametz is coming to teach a person, is that when you go ahead and you wait that extra second, it literally changes the chemical makeup. The chemical makeup has changed in the flower that becomes something totally different. It just becomes it's a new chefs, it's a new thing in Ganset. It's a totally new thing. And when we appreciate and recognize it, then what ends up happening is then we maybe end up taking advantage of this time. Now, I'm not saying We've discussed in other times the idea of Ritzifus. We've discussed in other times the idea of little changes, how it changes everything, if you guys recall these ideas, right? We've been through this concept. Over here we're saying, okay, don't go with Ritzifus for hours. Do also. But I'm saying, all right. But at the very least, take advantage of the little times that you have. I don't remember if I told you this, Maisa. I'll repeat it just in case I didn't. The story is about a friend of mine when I was in yeshiva. And this guy would stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning every morning. Do you recall this story? Yes, some of you do. Mark Spitz was his name. And what happened was that this guy would stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning every morning, and then he would get up for Shacharis. It was called for 7:30. He would get up by 7:30, but it's usually p.m. And he would get up by like 8 o'clock. He would roll in or whatever, and you could see the guy's eyes were done. Like, the guy was totally, like, black eyes. Like totally did he, like, did he pee sometimes? And he was totally, And one of the Rebbeim saw him once, like, his eyes, like, down to, like, what's the story? And he's, you know, someone told him he's staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning every night. And he says to him, what are you doing? He goes, Rebbe, I'm a masmid. And he said, you're not a masmid. You're an idiot. Now, he didn't say that because you have to be... That's essentially what he said to him. He said, you're a fool. So what's a masmid? A masmid in that realm, we're not getting into the concept, we had all the famous measures of Tamidius, but over here it means a masmid means that a person has every part of their day structured. 1,440 minutes, we know what we're doing during those minutes, and we're in the right place at the right time. We're in the right place in the right time. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing when we're supposed to be doing it. And he told the mice about his friend, who used to go ahead, and every night he would learn till 11:50 p.m. He would then go down to bed, and by 12 a.m., 10 minutes later, he was in bed sleeping, after washing up, brushing his teeth, and Krishma Lamita, and going to bed. Someone who's scheduled and put his time in the right place at the right time, go ahead and do it. That's the concept of going ahead and being a masmid. But I want to share with you another idea of what it means. And I want to share with you something, the concept that we have understanding. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not taken Klal Yisrael, it's hard to understand exactly what this means. Because we know Hashem said we're never going to be lost, we're always going to be His, we're going to be there, etc. But alright, we understand that Chazal tells we're on the lowest level, on the 49th level of Tumah. If we would have stayed there for another moment, what does that mean, a moment? So we don't have the ability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability of being Mavdil, being Kodesh Lachol to the exact second, right? There's no being that Shema Shos of exact. We are Sveikas, people that are born, you know, after Shkia, before, what we do, you put a tefillin on twice and you on both arms, and we have different things that we don't know what to do. But Hashem knows exactly. This is why we say that he stopped on the 6th day, went on the 7th day, right? We have different Gemara's talking about the switching, so people shouldn't misunderstand what that means exactly. Gemara in Megillah, some of you learned. Right, so we go to realize the fact that Hashem knows exactly. Bachatzos, kachatzos, right? So understand, he knows exactly what's going on. We don't have that. What's the smallest measurement of shear? The smallest measurement of shear is the smallest measurement of shear that we can't really relate to. We have different levels of shear, of zman. But Hashem is the exacting. Had Hashem not took us out, b'chipazon, quickly, get out, we would have been lost. We would have, the 50th level would have been lost. What does that mean exactly, right? But we would have been, so to speak, lost, which means that our whole existence comes through Zrizus. The whole idea comes through Zrizus. Mitzvah baliyadcha ala tachmitzena. It comes to your hands. Don't let it become chametz. Zrizus. You got to work quick. You got to work quick. You got to be quick. Got to be quick. It's the only way to beat the Yitzhara. You got to be quick. Don't really actually sit and learn something. Got to be quick. How many of us have times in our lives when we feel like we're ready to learn? We get excited by it. We're pumped and we want to go and we do it. And then it passes. And then it passes and we don't do it. And very often, okay, even in the setting of yeshiva and you're learning everything, okay, you do it because you have a chavrus and you have a zman and whatever. What happens when you're at home? Whatever, you know, when you're not necessarily, you know, with a whole structure and a set, what do you do? So I'm going to give you at least one eitzah. One eitzah to do is make sure. And we know, ain't adam lo min elam ashelu b'chafetz bo. A person only learns things that talk to them. That it talks to me, something which gets me excited. So make sure that you have something that's going to excite you. Something which you get into, something which is enjoyable, something which is a geschmack, or something which you really, 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 really love to learn, like uktzen. Right? Get something like that, because that's usually what people go through, right? That's what they grab first. But go ahead. And have it on your table. Have it on the table. Have the svarim on the table. Have it on the table with a marking to the place. So that moment of inspiration that you have, you sit down and it's there. If you have to look for a sefer, it's over. Because, ugh, I have to look for one. All right, so make sure it's there. And you're ready to grab it, and grab it. Al tachmitzena. Don't let it become chametz. You got to grab it. Bam! And a person grabs it, all of a sudden it changes everything. Obviously, like we discussed when we talked about the sweetness of Torah, if you guys recall, the famous Chazanish letter, famous to all of us because we've done it together, but the idea over there was brought down of the concept that if you put a pot on for 5 minutes, take it off, it's not going to boil, right? It's not going to boil. Understand that it's not really that it was 1 second. It's not that it became chametz in 1 second. It was 18 minutes. and 1 second, right? It was 17 minutes and 59 seconds, and then 1 second. It's a slow buildup, but understand that if a person capitalizes on those seconds after growth, that propels you to the next level. I was talking with a friend of mine tonight. His name is Yoni. And he said that he was talking with Rav Noach Weinberg of Blessed Mary. Rav Noach Weinberg said to him, "Hey, Yoni, you know, you're a better Makariv than I am." And he said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You're a young guy. You know, you understand this generation. I'm an old man. You know, what shaykhs do I have?" He goes, "Rebbe, what are you talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu only started his career when he turned 80. Everybody gets that? And you take a look and you see at the gedolim that we have, when do they start their careers? It's a funny thing. People can run for president when you're 35 years old, as long as you were born in Guam, in America. So you could be president of the United States at 35 years old. And people go and they become leaders in different things. Who are the people, the matzah, who are the gedolim that we look? Yeah, you have here and there people that are eloyps, right? And we look at them, we respect them, but who are the gedolim? The youngest of them is like, you know, the whippersnappers. You know what I'm saying? Like 85, you know, it's like that's when you become. Because it's what, then it's a bam, there's a shift, because you capitalize on those little moments. You capitalize on those seconds, on those little moments, and you have the opportunities to do. I'll tell you, listen, what can I tell you? I just cannot tell you the famous story. You guys know the story, but Chazar, let's chazar. So the story goes about a certain Rav of Zelig Ruvain Burgess, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim. And he would finish Shas many times. Finish Shas many, many times. And he had a seder where he would finish Shas. And then what happens, one day he goes ahead and he makes a Siyam HaShas. And about a week later, he makes another Siyam HaShas. So he said, like, my high. What's going on here? You know, what are you breaking from the mold and when did you do this? So I always heard 5 minutes. You heard that part? Like 5 minutes. But I just read 15 minutes. I don't know. I guess they have different gear souls. Yeah? I just read 15 minutes. What's exactly. For us, right? 15 minutes. Right? So between 5 and 15 minutes, he finished us. What's shot? He said, whenever he had a moment, when he's sitting and he's waiting. And I have one of my mentors, you know, one of the guys in the Kola when I was learning in Yeshiva, he said that his name is J.J. Yerman. He said to me, like, what does it mean when a person goes ahead and he goes ahead, he's a masmid? Okay, so you guys, most of you, I assume, are not at the stage yet. What it means is when you're ready to go out to a chasana with your rebbetzin, someone else's, by the way, but you're ready to go out to a chasana, and she goes, "Oh, just give me a minute, I need to go do something." But you sit down for that minute and you learn. Because you have a sefer open, it's already there, it's ready to go. "Oh, but this kashya l'shechacha, if it's open." You have the marker there. Right? So go, "But what do I do? Do I eat olives now?" Right, but you have the, put oil on it, you'll be fine. Put oil in your sefer and it'll be fine. And you go ahead and you open up and you sit down and you learn. You take those moments. How many moments of those, if you were to stop and think for a moment? What is this, Robert? We have to go and finish Shas? Okay, so one would say the fact like, okay, good. Okay, here he's saying, "I just don't have time." You don't have time? 5 to 10 minutes a day, 1 minute a day. Sit down and do something, what you can accomplish. I want to tell you something. I told my Talmidim, we were discussing in Asia in Gesher. I told the guys, I said, "Guys, you know what we can do, the Gesher program, post-high school program in Asia. I said, you know what we could do with our time if we just took advantage? We could do so much." I went through Ilfa and Rav Yochanan, different ideas, the Gemaras. I think maybe we spoke it here, Tainus and Samach Tes. And we went through the different things of discussing about what we could accomplish if we just took little moments. I said, "Guys, let's do something." And I really wouldn't. I'm just saying this to be mechazik. That's what I want to share with you. I said, "Let's do something." They said, "Okay, what should we do?" So, Rachmanu Litzlan, we all borrowed our friends' phones to use WhatsApp. And what we did is we started a WhatsApp group. If I'm allowed to say such a thing. Okay, but she was not here right now. So we started a WhatsApp group. Yeah, okay, there. That's the last time. Okay, well, once it's the last time. I saw a great movie the other night I want to tell you about. I didn't say this, so I can't point this out. I'm not kidding. But anyway, I can't talk about it. So we started a group on Shmir Salashon, Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim Shmir Salashon. We're now in Klal Dalid. We're up to Klal Dalid. We're up to Dalid Hey. That's what we're up to tonight. And we've been going through consistently, day in, day out. It's my fault because I'm the one in charge of it. So sometimes when I'm not around, so I fall off, which is not okay. But we've been going through it. And what I do is that it's meant to be just as a supplement to the Chafetz Chaim. It's just it's read Chafetz Chaim and then listen to what I'm saying, and it's a supplement. It turned into that it's it, right? So I just speak out the Chafetz Chaim. I speak out the Chafetz Chaim, ad lib a little bit, but speaking out. How long does it take to do two halachas a day? What do you think? How long? On average, a minute and 42 seconds. A minute and 42 seconds to do two halachas a day. Okay, don't learn Ber Mayim Chaim. You want to learn Ber Mayim Chaim? It'll take a little longer. Learn the straight up halacha. Start with that. A minute 42 a day. You don't have a minute 42 a day. How many of you look back at this last week? What did you do? What could you have done? And I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, I could have done shas, right? I'm saying, but you could have done more. Even little tidbits, little things, if you grab these little moments, these little sections, it goes in and changes. The person goes, okay, but it's just too much to do. So grab little things. That brings us to the next Maisa, the next famous Maisa, tonight's famous Maisa night. There was a boy who if anyone wants in on that WhatsApp group, there was a boy that... He grew up secular, and he became religious. And when he became religious, he got really into learning, and he really loved it. He got a geschmack out of it. And he was sitting at home learning, and his father was already retired, not really doing much with his life, just chilling. And he says, he says to his son, he sees his son just learning, and he says to him, hey, it looks like you're getting a real fun out of that. Teach me something. He's like, Dad, no, really, I love you. But like, Dad, this is out of your league. I just want what I'm saying. This is the Talmud. You know what I'm saying? This is it. This is the real stuff. He's like, so teach me some of the Talmud. He goes, no, come on. It's like, you got to learn you don't even know Aleph Beis. You got to learn Aleph Beis. It's a great Kira story. You don't even know Aleph Beis. No, don't learn. Right? And he says, what do you mean? So teach me. He goes, when I teach you that, it's Hebrew, but then it's Aramaic. You know what I mean? Like, come on. This is like two languages you don't have under your belt. He's like, teach me. I want to learn. He's like, okay. So he sits down with him and he starts, Aleph, Beis, and they go through Aleph, Beis. And then he starts teaching him a couple of classic words, bless you. And then he starts learning with him. And it takes him a full year. But after a full year, they end up finishing a daf. They learn a daf gemara together. After a full year, they finish the daf. And he turns to his son. He was so excited. And he says to him, son, we're going to make a party. He's like, make a party? For what? Bless you. He said, what for? He goes, we're going to make a party. He goes, what party? He's like, well, we're going to make like a smum. He goes, a what? A smurf. We're going to... Gargamel. I don't know. We're going to make a smurf. He goes, we're going to make a smurf? When you finish, you make that thing. He goes, oh, a seum. Yes, seum. We're going to make a seum. He goes, Dad, I'm sorry to break this to you, but you finished a page. You only make a siyum when you finish a whole masechta. So he says to him, son, I want to make a smurf. We're going to make a smurf. He doesn't know what to do. So he went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Went to Rav Moshe at the time. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's a little embarrassed, to tell him, but also excited and happy for his father that he did this. But he's like, what do I do? He wants to make a siyum. So Rav Moshe says, tell him to make a siyum. You should make the siyum. And he was waiting for him to give like a wisely. He's like, tell him to make the siyum. He's like, make the siyum? He goes, tell him to make the siyum. And not only tell him to make the siyum, I want to be there. I want to come to the siyum. Tell me when the siyum is, I want to come. Can you imagine Rav Moshe Feinstein showing up at your siyum? He's dead, but it would be insane. Imagine Rav Moshe showing up at the siyum when he was alive, even then it would be crazy. Yeah, Kabbal Chomer. But how much it would be then? But it goes to Moshe, and Rav Moshe made time to come to the siyum, and he spoke at the siyum. His father, this is the highlight of his life, literally, because that night he went to sleep. Next morning they found that he didn't wake up, he had died in his sleep. According to the Rishonim, it was not possible, so he must have woke up for a little bit. But anyway, the point is he had died. He died that night. Rav Moshe came to speak at the Levaya. Rav Moshe said, the famous Gemara says, Yesh shekona olamo bekama shanim. We know that there are those that acquire the world in many years. V'yesh shekona olamo b'shah achas. And there are those that acquire the world in one moment. Grab the moment. But here we learned that yesh shekona olamo bidaf achas. There are those that acquire their world with one page. Person says, well, you know, it's just, I have no time. You don't have a minute 42. Person says, you know, it's just, tashas is too much. You can't learn a page. My friends, what can we accomplish in 1 minute? How many cigarettes can we go through in the world? How many babies can be born? How many people can die in 1 second? In 0.01 seconds. You go from being a household name to being named Chavich. No one knows who that is except for you. Even you didn't know who that was, right? No one knows who the loser, the loser. The guy's a silver medalist in the Olympics, one of the best athletes in the world, the loser. That's what they looked at. Like, the guy's amazing, but we look at him like a loser. People, where are we? Are we silver? Are we gold? Do we realize the fact that we have the opportunity to be gold? And again, it doesn't have to mean that we're learning every second of our life, although there's a gift to do that. But we're not saying that now. Tonight's discussion is about the concept of maximizing the little moments and taking the concept and not becoming chametz. Mitzvah baliyotcha al tachmitzenu. Live with the concept of zrizus. When a person goes out, lives the concept of zrizus, it goes out and it changes everything. And understand, it's a qualitative difference. It's an actual change. You take a look in terms of a Vlad. We know that until 40 days, it's considered Mayim Ba'alma, right? The big discussion, Chokas Bishonim, but we say that the baby is only like water, and then 40, and all of a sudden, it's an Neshama, it's a whole new thing. From what? From 1 moment, from 1 second. And if we were to go ahead and take these moments and these seconds, how it could change everything. Okay, so let's do the following. Quick recap, end of 1 point, and we're finalizamos. So we started to begin, my friends, understand the concept of what happens. The first goes around the world, what occurs in 1 minute, 25 Americans get a passport, 50 planes taken off, 160 people get married, 140 people get moved, 11,000 packages delivered, UPS, 5,441,400 pounds of garbage around to the world. About 1 second, 46 births, 1.8 people never died. 10,450 coke addicts. Right, we got an idea of what it means, 270 times, 173,000 citizens, 11 yeshiva guys are smoking. Unbelievable. 0.1 second, Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps, and this other guy, Dan, or whatever it is, who goes ahead, but you know, he's still pretty awesome now. What's the value of a year? What's the value of a month? What's the day of a day? What's the value of an hour, of a minute, of a second, of a millisecond? If we would have stayed in Mitzrayim for 1 more second, we wouldn't have been able to be talking about this right now. We'd still be walking around with stuff. Understand, 1 second changed everything. 1 second changed everything. That's bechipazon, that's zrizus, that's alacrity, that's quick, that's jumping on it. That's a masmid, that's a person who has the moment and he goes and he takes it. That's a person who recognizes the fact that to learn 2 halachas a day only takes a minute of 42 seconds, assuming you're on some sort of group that's usher. A person who goes to realize the idea that you know that there's 1,444 minutes in a day, not that you know the 440 minutes in a day, not that you know the fact that there's actually a concept of an hour and a half hour and whatever. It's the seconds that count. When a person breaks it down and recognizes the goal into the concept. Then we realize that Zegemov and Burgers, it goes to 5 and 15 minutes, depending on which era you're living in. And I realize the idea of what happens is you can go and you can finish all of Shas through an idea. Person says, it's too much. Okay, how about learning 1 page? How about learning 1 page and what that does? Now, I want to share with you, I want to end off with 1 point. Understand, don't forget, this is a new Zman. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life, my friends. It's a new way. And if we just looked at it right now, and you sometimes you can really just feel fine. If you just recognize this. And when you go into Europe, take a minute. Take a minute a day. You're going to be learning anyway through going to different things. But take a minute today to learn something. Take a pint yourself. You're going to do something over your time in Europe. That you're going to finish something. You're going to go through something. You're actually going to finish it. Give opportunities that if we take them, we walk back and we look back and like, wow, we actually accomplished something. As opposed to a person going ahead and realizing the fact that what did I do at this trip? What did I really accomplish? But I want to end off with 1/3 Maisa that we all know. But just to bring out such a beautiful point. Such a beautiful point. Because even if a person says, okay, fine, I have a little bit of time. And you know what? Not only have a little bit of time, I also have the concept of it's not too much, I'll do a little bit. Even then, sometimes people fall to the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah of like, what's the value in it anyway? What's the value? Which is a whole other discussion, which I'm not going to open up now just to keep you too long. But I want to share with you this one story that I saw in one of the more recent Magid books of Rabbi Kron. It's just an amazing, amazing story. The story goes about a certain Rav. His name was Rav Plotchik. Rav Plotchik was a Rebbe in a camp in upstate New York. I don't know what else he did during the year, but the story, the Maisa goes during this time period. He's in upstate New York. And since he was a Rebbe in camp, it was only during the morning hours. In the afternoon, they had off. So all the Rebbeim from all the different camps started to join the Kollel, where they would learn together in the afternoons, upstate New York. One day, an elder gentleman walked in. I mean, elder, older than them, right? So someone walked in, seemed to be in their late 60s, early 70s, walked in, and sat in the back of the basement. Just sat, opened an art scroll and started learning. And everyone's like, "Who's this guy? You know, who is this guy?" Someone's like, "It's a Smurf," and it turned into a whole thing. And he goes and he says, okay, the first day, second day, third day. So they go over and a flatzer comes over and says, "Hey, who are you?" He says, "Who he is." You know, he's just come to, he figured he has time, he's going to come learn. He says, "Oh, great, if you have any questions, we're all here for you, no problem, please come, we'll be happy to help." He says, "Great, thank you so much." And he would come and he would ask some questions, and it's usually basic questions, just basic questions in Gemara. Basic things, how do you understand the Nesivus and the Ksos? We're not talking about that, it was Bikias. And they went ahead, and other questions like, "What is Tafresh?" Anyway, so they go ahead and he hangs out with them, and they all enjoy his company. One day he doesn't show up, a second day he doesn't show up, a third day he doesn't show up, till finally what happens? Finally he shows up, and he comes in, and he looks all down, and the Rav goes over, Patsy goes over, he says, "What's the problem? What's, we haven't seen you." He said, "Listen, yeah, I didn't tell you guys before, but unfortunately I got that terrible illness, terrible disease, and it's not looking good. And you know, I came to learn because I figured, like, you know, I don't have so much time, I might as well learn something. I haven't really learned enough. And I started learning, and you guys were so gracious, and you were so open, you were so kind, and so, you know, it was really nice of you. But I started to think to myself, I mean, what am I asking you guys? Tanu Rabbanan and Toshima, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what I'm doing. When you guys learn, you're doing Rishonim, you're doing Achronim, like, it means something, it's powerful. When I learn, what does it even mean? What does it even mean? I'm learning like the most basic of things. I'm not even learning a lot. What am I even learning? Siyata Dishmaya. Siyata Dishmaya. This Rav Plachik had just been watching the Smurfs the other day, and he saw in between there's a news break. And he's really listening to the radio, and he heard on the radio an amazing story. And he said, "I want to tell you a story." He said there was a very famous fellow by the name of Toscanini. Toscanini was a maestro. Not to be confused with maestro in Espanol. Maestro in Italiano. He was a conductor. He was the guy who ran the show. Toscanini. And there was a fellow who was writing, what do you call those things? Autobiographies? Or that's when you do it yourself? Biographies. So he was writing a biography about Toscanini. And he was meeting with him and different things. And he says to him one day, he says, Toscanini, I want to come over tonight and I want to just interview you, you know, about the things that, to continue with the book. He goes, "Not tonight." He goes, "Why not?" He goes, "Because the orchestra in New York is going to be playing my piece and I want to listen. I want to hear how they do." So he goes, "Maestro, it would be my greatest pleasure if I could come and watch you listening." He said, "That's very awkward." I won't tell you what I was thinking, but that's very awkward. I'll tell you after if you want. Anyway, so he goes, "That's very awkward." He goes, "No, you know, to be able to experience it with you." He said, no, "I need absolute silence." He goes, I affirm that I will not talk." Blina there. He says, "You're not going to talk, Blina? All right, cool." So he comes in, it's like going to start at 8 o'clock or whatever it was. And he comes in, and he's just about to hit 8. He goes, "You there, silence." He sits down, turns on the radio, bam, it starts. And they sit there for, I don't know, 2 hours, listening to this whole piece. And when it finishes, the crowd erupts, and this reporter turns to him and he says, "Not bad, huh? Not bad." And he's like, "It was okay." "What do you mean it was okay? It was amazing. All the different harmonies in the background." He goes, "It's okay." He goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Listen, all right? There's 114 pieces in orchestra. And there was a violin missing." He's like, yeah. "I bet there was. I won't keep you from your linguine, maestro. Right? Take care. See you tomorrow." And he leaves. But he can't help it. It's bothering him. So he calls up the New York, I don't know, the New York Philharmonic, whatever, whoever was playing. And he says, he gets through to one person next, finally to someone involved in the orchestra, and he says, "How many pieces are there in the orchestra?" He says, "Oh, there's 114 pieces." He said, "Okay, it makes sense. He would know that. He was the guy." And he goes, He goes, but unfortunately, one of the violinists was sick, so he couldn't make it. And he was just speechless. He couldn't believe it. He calls up the maestro, and he's like, "Maestro, I am so sorry." He said, "What is this, a confessional?" He's like, "Whoa, what did you do?" He's like, "Five help. What did you do?" He goes, "I'm sorry." He goes, "What?" He goes, I thought you were nuts when you said to me that there was a violin missing. It just made no sense. It's crazy. How could you go ahead and say such a thing?" But I called him up, and it's true. "How did you know that?" He said, "Let me tell you something. When you go to listen to an orchestra, what do you know? What do you know? You guys come to listen. You might enjoy music. You might even understand music. But I'm the conductor. You understand? I know every single piece in that orchestra. I know every single note of every single piece that's played throughout the whole thing. And as I was listening, I noticed there was something missing. And as I was listening to what was missing, I knew it was coming from the string section. And as I was listening more intently, I noticed it was coming from a violin. And therefore, I knew that there were only 113 pieces, and one that was missing was a violin." Says Rabbi Plotzik to this elderly gentleman. He says to him, "Listen, what's your Torah worth? What's the value of you learning a minute 42? What's your value of sitting and doing? To me, I can't tell you. I don't know. I can't judge. I don't really know. But to the conductor, to the Ribono Shel Olam, who understands every orchestra, understands every piece, understands every bit of music and every instrument, oh, it means a lot." He said to him, "Thank you very much. I really appreciate what you've told me," and he left. But he never ended up coming back. A couple weeks later, Rav Plotzik calls up the family and says, "You know, how's Mr. So-and-so doing?" And said, "Oh, unfortunately, you didn't hear. He passed away." He said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And they said, "What did you say your name was?" He said, "Plotzik." He said, "Plotzik, I got to tell you something. I never met you, but my father spoke about you very often. And every day before he would open up his Gemara or his Chumash or anything in order to learn, he would start by saying, 'This one is for the conductor.' And then he would start learning." My friends, come to realize the excuses of no time and it's too much and what's the value? There's enough time. It's not too much. What's the value? There's a lot of value in it. Recognize the fact of the chipazon zrizus. Grab the opportunities that you have. Look at this man as a newsman, even if it's just 2 days. Look at these next 2 days like this is a whole nother dimension. Not it's a continuation, it's a whole nother thing which gives us a new mindset to be able to focus and deal with it. When you go on the trip, take the opportunity, think in advance of what it is that you feel you can go through to be able to accomplish, besides all the trips, what you'll be learning, something on the side that you could take a minute or two a day to go through. You'll look back and you'll say the idea, it'll be living. Mitzvah b'liyadcha, al tachmisenu. Shkoyach.